Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Gang's all here, including Fritzy. Best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like, your opportunity to take part in the program. Operator Tyler standing by. He'll take your phone calls. 877-3DP-SHOW. By the way, the Dan's deals, I extended this to tonight. It ends at 10 Eastern.
No.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Last chance.
That's it. Seton goes, no, this is going to end on Friday. I go, no, it's not. We're going to end it Monday night.
He said, like hell it is. It's going to end when I say it ends.
Yes. Really great brands, handpicked by us, products we think you'll love for the holidays, great gifts. All deals are 50 to 60% off, but limited quantities ends tonight at 10 Eastern. That's it. You can get most of your holiday shopping done in one stop at danpatrick.com. This program brought to you by, as always, Simply Safe Home Security. What's up, Holmes? Get up to 50% off your Simply Safe system Fast Protect plan at simplysafedan.com. There's no safe like Simply Safe. Play of the day, poll question, stat of the day, all of that forthcoming. Chris Fowler, he will join us. 30 years ago, we started College Game Day on the road, and Chris was right there with Coach Corso. Craig James, there's a trivia question for you. He was there before Kirk Herbstreit. So Chris Fowler, one of the great voices of college football, will stop by here.
Technically, I started the whole thing.
In a little bit. Hall of Famer Steve Young will join us a little bit later on as well. Eagles at the Chiefs. The Chiefs -3 tonight, according to DraftKings. We'll recap the college football weekend. Browns beat the Steelers, Lions over the Bears, the Niners are back, the Bills are back, the Broncos are back?
Pseudo back. A lot of field goals, not enough touchdowns.
Okay, but bottom line was what, Todd?
They won their fourth straight, and they're remarkably better than they were in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, Russ is cooking. Broncos dangerous. Who's with?
With you?
In the Huns.
Would you rather be a Bronco fan or a Charger fan today, Todd?
Much rather be a Bronco.
Okay. All right. So things could get worse. And Brandon Staley, the head coach of the Chargers for the time being, was asked about his defense yesterday, and it got a little tense.
I have full confidence, like I've told you, and like I've told you from the beginning, I have full confidence in our way of playing. Full confidence in myself as the play caller and the way that we teach and the way that we scheme. Full confidence in that. We got to bring this group together and do it consistently, okay? And that's where it's at. So you can stop asking that question, okay? I'm going to be calling the defenses, okay? So we're clear. So you don't have to ask that again.
All righty.
Just to follow up, Coach, real quick. Defensive
now,
coach.
Now, who's calling?
I can stop asking it, but I'm not going to. So what about that?
Poll question is going to be what, Seton O'Connor? By the way, this is an average Green Bay team. This is where there's no snow. Weather wasn't an issue. It's not the frozen tundra yet. Now, Chargers got to get a win here. Got to be able to play four quarters for a change. All right, Seton, what kind of poll question are we going with?
Dan, we're going with one of our favorites. Who had the worst weekend?
Ooh.
We love to start the week off on a negative.
Negative, yeah.
Yeah. Who had the worst weekend? Well, Florida State had a tough one.
Yeah, you win, but you lose your Heisman candidate. And I wonder, now, I don't understand how, you know, the human element comes in. Florida State is not as good today as they were on Saturday when you lose, you know, your great quarterback here. Will the rankings reflect that Florida, or do they have to wait until Florida State plays a game or two before they decide where they're going to put them in the rankings? So they are top four, top five team. You take your quarterback out of the equation. That's what I'm curious about. Link talk Chris Fowler about that. What else, Seton?
Why doesn't, not to go off on a tangent here, but why doesn't college football try to figure out a better way to do this?
It feels like every 5 years or 7 years, they have a better way of doing it. We just haven't gotten to the 5 or 7 years where they're going to figure out how to do it again, because now we have the 12-team playoff coming in next year. So you have the committee, and they all get together, and then they spit out all this information. Spokesperson goes on the mothership on Tuesday night and explains everything, and then we move on to the next week. That's the system. Yes, Paul.
Dan, as a huge college football fan, the last thing I want to do is that college football figures it out and has a clean system for a playoff format. Because if they did, we'd have nothing to talk about. The NFL's, you know, regimented. You win, you're in. You don't, you're out. The Florida State story is fantastic. Do you put them in on resume or current state of competitiveness for the national title picture? Because Vegas looks at it one way, and committee members sometimes look at resume.
Yeah. Who else is on their seat?
Would we rather more sports adopt this method, or is it just unique to college football?
I think it's unique to college football. It's like when you're judging gymnastics or figure skating. You're like, that was a 10. A 10? Or a boxing match. Wait, who won that round? You're not quite sure. Wait, are we watching the same game? And, you know, that...
That Russia said it was a 9. Sorry.
Yeah. I had it as a 10. Who else is on the list today?
The Steelers are on the list, Dan. They didn't have a great weekend.
All right, you lose to a third-string quarterback, and that defense is still great, and you can't score any points. Granted, Cleveland's defense is really good as well, but, you know, given the news, Deshaun Watson's out, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, his, you know, second start, first start was terrible, and goes in there and just manages the game. That is a bad loss for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Give credit to the Browns. I'm going to give credit there. I know we're skewing negative to start.
Infighting. It's always fun.
Okay.
Let's see. You have, Brandon Staley, he's had a bad weekend for about 3 years straight. It seems like.
Yes. It feels like there's been speculation about his future for quite some time. And you're probably going to have an opening there. Imagine, now I don't know what happens at USC with Lincoln Riley. They're not going to fire him, but would he take another job? Chip Kelly had the win against USC. Are they going to fire him, even though his record has been average there at UCLA? Then you have the Chargers probably going to have an opening there as well. Okay.
Which feels like not a story anymore. The Chargers are, they might have an opening soon.
Yes. Yeah. Who else is on the list?
The New York Giants, they are sort of a living bad weekend.
That's a horrible win. What are you doing? You got Tommy DeVito.
Us guys.
Tommy DeVito. Yes, Paulie.
A week ago, Dan, your New York Giants were settled in the 2 spot for the NFL draft.
What are you doing?
It was Drake May, Caleb Williams. Your problems are solved. Now they're in the 5 spot. Terrible win.
Terrible.
DeVito.
Did we find out if Marissa Tomei's character in My Cousin Vinny, wasn't her last name DeVito? Yes, Marv.
Her full name was Mona Lisa Vito.
Oh, Vito.
Mona Lisa Vito.
Mona Lisa Vito.
You weren't positive.
She was great, wasn't she?
She was spectacular in that movie.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
Doesn't have pause attraction.
They were.
Who else is on that list, Seton O'Connor?
There's one more, Dan. The media that buried Russell Wilson and Sean Payton.
Yeah. Maybe you should apologize.
Our favorite thing.
Yeah.
To look back after the fact and point out everyone that was wrong. Not us. Just everyone else.
No. Even though Russ hasn't come on the show all season long.
Is this option, Paul, suggesting that they weren't deserving of getting buried?
Yes.
Fair question.
We should have been more patient with them and been like, hey, let them right the ship.
Yeah, a little bit. I think, you know, when you have a brand new coach like Sean Payton, who has a pretty good track record, and Russell Wilson, who had 10 like Pro Bowl type seasons and one really bad one, you'd think you'd be patient, but you could find articles from a month ago that said,
we read those articles.
We read them. Sean Payton, the NFL has passed him by. This was the wrong hire for
when
the Broncos.
When do you bench Russ?
Yep.
How do you get out of his contract?
Yep.
All of those things.
5 weeks ago.
You members of the media, you.
And we were like, you guys are crazy.
I said,
this
hey.
This is going to turn around sometime around week 11.
No, we definitely
This is going to turn around. You guys are crazy.
We were somewhere in between. We're like, ooh, it's ugly. But let's not go scorched earth. We're warm takers.
There was Geno Smith and the Seahawks were bawling. They were absolutely lights out, and Russell Wilson and the Broncos were terrible.
Yeah.
They were terrible.
Lying in wait.
Well, we've had a few of those stories this year. Those Colorado Buffaloes.
I still don't think that it's a good sign that the coach was finally like, hey, Russ, stop playing and just do what I want. And then, hey, look, we righted the ship.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know that that's a positive either.
Well, it feels like he is managing him a lot more. That there's almost, not a pitch count, but it feels that way of, you know, Sean Payton is managing every... No, we're not diving in with Bronco analysis.
There's no diving
analysis.
In. The winning cures a lot of things.
I know, but you were not on the bandwagon.
I was not. I thought
you
it was a disaster.
You were a member of the media that,
yes.
You know...
1-5, there was no reason to believe that all of a sudden they were going to go on any kind of winning streak.
Yeah.
And it could still end in disaster. There's 7 more games to be played. They're 5-5. They're in the hunt in the middle of a bunch of average teams right now. But they could have easily lost the Bills and Vikings games.
Could easily win 27-23 instead of 34-35.
No, but what would we be saying today if they just barely lost to the Bills and just barely lost to the Vikings? It could have gone either way.
They're
going
to go 11-16, 3 picks instead of...
They'd be 3-7 right now. We'd be saying the same things we said about the 1-5 team.
Okay. You lose 70-20 instead of 20.
Hey, he made fun of Hackett, then he got killed 70-20. Explain that.
All right.
It didn't
it's your team. It's your team.
I know. They had a punt fest for a very long time and constant
I
sacks.
Tried to get you to take them against the Buffalo Bills. No,
the Broncos
were
70-20 to the Dolphins?
They did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Years ago.
Yeah, it is.
That was like not even...
Feels like that. Not even this season. Oh, by the way, congratulations. How about a positive? How about a positive?
Why?
What?
I'm just kidding.
Why? Yeah, we're gonna do a positive. Right. Here's Jerry Jones.
Oh, my God.
But I will say this. It was magical the time we had together. And I want you to know something. On December the 30th of 1923, you're going in the Dallas Cowboy ring. What did I say? 2023. Well, it is 2023. Yeah, we want to get this real clear. Okay? 3 weeks from now. 4 weeks from now.
All righty. Finally, Jimmy Johnson is done enough to get into the coveted Ring of Honor with the Dallas Cowboys. Did he have a good show on Fox? Like, what did he do recently where you go, nope, now you get into the Ring of Honor there. Jimmy, congratulations. Cowboys are on the road in Carolina. And all of a sudden, now is where Jerry brings in Jimmy Johnson into the Ring of Honor. Congratulations, Jimmy. Well deserved. Yes, Todd.
It does seem like 100 years ago that he should have been allowed into the Ring of Honor, so I understand the little slip up there.
It does. No, you're absolutely right. But I'm going, oh, my God. Why? Why now? I mean, thankfully, they're doing it while they're still alive. One's 81 and one's 80. Yeah, Pauline.
Was Jerry Jones trying to wait out Jimmy Johnson? I'm barely kidding.
It breaks my heart to have to do this now.
Once Jimmy turned 80, he's like, maybe he's not going to. Maybe he's sticking around for a while. I better put him in the Ring of Honor.
Hey, nobody's having a better life than Jimmy Johnson.
Right.
There's no stress. So it's not like, you know, I think Jerry's like, he's going to outlive me. Yeah. But great. He's going into the Ring of
Honor. He's been in the Yachting Magazine Ring of Honor for decades.
Drinking beer.
Yes.
Fishing Ring of Honor.
Margaritaville.
Yeah. Yeah, he can be the new Jimmy Buffett. So congratulations. It's finally, Jerry finally figured out that now's the time.
And why?
I have no idea. I'd love to know. I'd love to, you know, when Jerry leaves and then all of a sudden the Fox guys get together and Terry or Howie or Strahan goes, wait, what the hell was that all about? Yes, Todd.
Imagine if Jimmy would have put him on the spot right there and then. Well, I'm going to ask the question that everybody wants to know. Why now, Jerry? Just put him on the spot right there.
What if he said, you know what? I don't think I'm ready to do it now. How about we wait till next year? Now, can we do it next year? December 30th, you're going into the Ring of Honor.
I'm going to pass, actually, on that honor. I got the gold jacket.
I'm in the Hall of Fame, Jerry.
I actually had a vacation booked for that weekend.
I'm going fishing. All right. Chris Fowler will join us. We will get to your phone calls, as we always do every Monday. Best and worst of the weekend. And Steve Young, the Hall of Famer, will join us coming up final hour of the program. We're back after this Monday edition. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
We'll get to your phone calls coming up. Chris Fowler on loan from College Game Day 30 years ago this week. Started College Game Day on the road. Boy, that has become it's like a boy band on the road. He'll join us coming up. Stat of the Day is always brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of this program. Justin Herbert has lost 14 games by 3 points or less. That's the most by any quarterback through their first four seasons in the last 70 years.
Woo! Ow! Stat of the Day! Stat of the Day! Stat of the Day! Stat of the Day! This is the Stat of the Day!
I am weirdly fascinated by Iowa football. Iowa has a good record, and if they would have allowed that punt return, I believe that was against Minnesota, you got a team with one loss, but they squeaked out a win against Illinois 15-13. And the reason why I'm fascinated is because on the gambling podcast, Dylan, the graphics guy, has taken Iowa every game this year and the under, and he's done really well. Since the start of last season, Iowa has played in 12 games with a combined score under 30. No other FBS team has played more than six such games over that span. Yes, Paul?
Iowa at Nebraska this weekend. Nebraska's actually given a point and a half in this shootout. The over-under is?
31 and a half.
Unbelievably, 26 and a half.
Oh, my God.
It's getting lower. They're trying to get the money to go to the other side. They're getting killed.
At some point, there has to be a shootout here, right?
Kind of Illinois, would they almost get 30 between them?
They got 28.
That's
the under again.
It's like a Big 12 game for them.
Somebody should be getting 30 on their own.
They're going to be in the Big 10 title game.
I know. Isn't that wild? Yes, Marvin.
I don't watch much Iowa football. Are they like the 2000 Ravens?
No. They lost their best defensive player, and that defense has been a great defense consistently. But when the coach has to fire his son, who's the offensive coordinator, when Kirk Ferentz, I think he was told to fire his son.
Son?
Or his son. I don't even know. It might have been coach. Come in here. He probably didn't say son. But I think the athletic director jumped in and said, you got to fire your son. Yes, Paul.
But did you see the offense of Iowa respond to that this weekend with 15
yes,
points?
Yes, they did.
That's how you motivate an offense, Dan. Fire some people.
Best and worst of the weekend. I'll start out with you, Buddha. San Francisco. Good morning.
What up, DP? Good morning, boys. Let's ride, Pritzy. Dan, I got some congratulations to throw around. Keep it positive. Congratulations, you guys mentioned it, to Jimmy Johnson going into the Ring of Honor finally. Congratulations to Phil Rivers, Dan, having his 10th child.
Yeah, I saw that. Family. I saw that, yeah.
And then, Dan, you also mentioned this. I was laughing about it. But did you notice that Robert Saleh yesterday, clean shaven, Dan. Mm-hmm. He took the prop and shaved it off. That was awesome. Congratulations to him.
Yeah,
that was a good move. But best of the weekend, Dan. Me and Marvin's Niners doing work at home and cleaning up the mess that was, and just taking care of Baker and the Bucks. And worst of the weekend, Dan. The Chargers. It's not like they've been doing it like just this year, Dan, or last year. It's been years, like plural years. I mean, they just find a way to lose every game. It's just truly unbelievable, DP.
Yeah, thank you, Buddha. You're right. You watch, and it's almost as if you know how it ends. You don't know how it's going to be written. You know, it's Mission Impossible. Tom Cruise lives, and then they do another Mission Impossible. Chargers lose, but how did they lose? How did Tom Cruise survive? It's just... That'll be a coveted job. There's a lot of talent there. I know Bosa got hurt, but at some point you got to figure this out. And, you know, the coach will pay the price here. But it feels like he's been on the hot seat for 2 years now. You got a really good quarterback, but at some point if you're going to be a top five quarterback, you have to win these games somehow, some way. And if your defense isn't playing well, then you have to play even better. That falls on the quarterback. It just does. It goes along with the territory. You know, you get too much credit, you get too much blame. And that might be the case in this situation. By the way, odds, according to DraftKings, MVP right now. Who is the favorite? Now, this is going to change probably after tonight, but anybody want to guess MVP odds? Who's the leading candidate? I'm going to go to you, Seton O'Connor. MVP, who is the favorite?
Patrick Mahomes.
Nope, he's third. Marvin?
Tua.
He is fourth. Todd? MVP right now. MVP according to DraftKings.
C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud is fifth. Paulie?
Lamar Jackson?
He's second.
Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts, you did it. Wow, that was impressive. That took five guesses. We know our football. Chris Fowler knows his football. Segway. Chris just called the game between Washington and Oregon State rivalry week. He's calling Florida State and Florida 7 Eastern on the mothership. Also, 30 years of College game day on the road. Chris joining us now. What was it like 30 years ago?
Do I get five guesses for everything you asked me? I just want to make sure we had the ground rules.
If you want to. What was the first road trip?
1993, number one versus number two at Notre Dame, Florida State, Bowden versus Holtz. It was an epic kind of regular season game we had been waiting for. We had been lobbying to get the show on the road for a while in the regular season. Nobody really wanted to spend the money. That matchup kind of justified it, and it was pretty cool. We didn't know what we were doing out there in South Bend, but we stumbled on it, and we got through it, and it was the birth.
But when did you know it was something? More than just, hey, we're taking SportsCenter on the road or, you know, NFL primetime. When did it become uh-oh?
We had done it in bowl games, but that wasn't the same thing as doing it on a campus. Yeah. So once we felt the energy, the pep rally at Notre Dame Friday night is pretty wild. You know, of course, so said he wanted to change his pick after watching the energy at Notre Dame's campus on Friday night, but ended up going with the alma mater incorrectly in that case. But now, Dan, is in 94, 95, we took it on the road more regularly, and these crowds began to build. Because that first day, it's in the lobby of the Hall of Fame. People had wandered in Saturday to, let's check out some trophies. Where's the Rockne display? What the hell's going on over here? Is this a TV show? They really stumbled in, like, not knowing what they were seeing. Again, they didn't have a very high profile back then. But still, you could tell once the game was over, and they all spilled back in there to celebrate. Holtz storms out of his office and up on the set and just arrives unannounced and sits down and takes a victory lap. I mean, we knew at that point to be there on a campus for these big games was going to be something. We also knew we had a lot to learn how to stage it.
All right, let me dive into college football this weekend. Actually, let's fast forward to tomorrow night. How does the committee look at Florida State now with, you know, Florida State losing their quarterback? How do you kind of process the resume and then forecast what you think they're going to be?
They're supposed to ignore what they think Florida State's going to be with Tate Rodemaker and others trying to fill in for Travis because he can't really replace him. Mm. So they're going to look at the resume. The resume is good. I do think Florida State fans have a right to be a little bit concerned. Number one, because they don't have these big wins down the stretch. Yeah, okay, it's a rivalry game in Gainesville. I'm going to call that game on Saturday, but the Gators have staggered and they're just playing to get to 6-6. And then Louisville, a good team. The committee seems to like them, but they haven't really played a heavyweight schedule themselves. And then is beating Louisville in the ACC championship game, if it's close, is that going to get them over the hump if they're competing against other teams with great resumes? You'd like to think they would not downgrade the current team based on not having their quarterback. They say they don't, but we'll see.
I go back to, what was it, 2014 with Ohio State, JT Barrett, and then Cardale Jones came in and, you know, kept them in the playoffs, kept them relevant. I don't know if that'll be the situation here with Florida.
That's what you point to. If you're Mike Norvell. That's the best possible example. And remember, Cardale Jones was third string at the beginning of the season because it was supposed to be Braxton Miller's team, and he got hurt, and Barrett takes over. And that's the best example. Now, I don't know if Tate Rodemaker is Cardale Jones, but I do know that the Noles have some great pieces around him. I mean, Jamel Holloway, remember he came in and as a freshman replaced Troy Aikman and took him to the national championship running a totally different offense. They redid the offense for him. And the NFL, you know, there's been many examples of backups coming in and doing great things, and Brady on down the line. It's a different thing than college. But, you know, I think they've got enough to get through the next two games. And if they get in the bracket, you know, they'd have their hands full. But Travis was a special player. I feel awful. He wasn't one of these guys that transferred in, Dan, and was there for like 8 months. 5 years at Florida State. Five years through some really, really tough times. And that was a tough one for those of us that love the sport and know him, to watch him carted off like that.
How interesting is Michigan now? What's happened? Are they interesting off the field any longer?
When Harbaugh got there, they've been interesting, man. It was always interesting to cover Michigan because it was such a unusual experience. He was just so quirky all the time that you never sort of knew what you're going to get. But, I mean, yeah, of course, it's super compelling. I mean, the fact that they have pulverized Ohio State the last couple of years, completely manhandled them after halftime. I know they're going into that game thinking the blueprint works. Right? We beat them in a submission a couple of years ago. And last year, 28-3 after halftime, they think they're the tougher, more physical team. And, you know, that gets Ryan Day all fired up. And that's there's plenty of motivation on their side. But, hey, that's where that came from. That's where the thing came from, that Ohio State wasn't tough enough at the line of scrimmage to beat these big teams, was the Michigan games the last couple of years. So they've got the opportunity to flip the script, but it won't be easy.
What about off the field?
Yeah, I mean, listen, people act like Harbaugh is sitting out because they have to punish the program, or at least the Big Ten felt like they had to answer to the 13 other teams and levy some punishment. And they've been making do without him. But listen, the sign-stealing thing is fascinating. I've had conversations with coaches the last few weeks about how big a thing is it? If you're an offensive coach, they think it's a huge thing. I mean, Lincoln Riley says there were double-digit points on Saturday if they have your signals. Other defensive coaches say, well, it depends on how much time you have to react. Is it really that big an edge? I mean, there's a difference of opinion among coaches, but what they're united on is if you're going to record it, if you're going to take it to that degree, then you've gone way too far. And when you break the rules consistently, systematically, and effectively, you're going to get punished more than somebody else. You can't say, hey, well, what about them? No, you did it way differently than they did, allegedly.
Talking to Chris Fowler, ABC Saturday Night Football, Washington and Oregon State this past weekend. He's got Florida State, Florida coming up this week on the mothership. Better team, not better resume, better team, Washington, Oregon.
Oregon. I mean, UW fans are going to hate me saying that. I called the game in Seattle, but I think that Oregon has been consistently dominant. I mean, it's very close to me. I mean, I think that Washington is still really hard to beat because they got a bunch of dudes who are going to be playing on Sunday who pitch it and catch it. And they know how to come up with big plays when they need it. But I think Oregon would be favored in the rematch. And I hope we get to see it. I would love to be there in Vegas for that one with a playoff bid on the line. I mean, it's a hatred game anyway. But I think they'd be favored probably close to a touchdown. And they're that impressive, I think, since the loss.
Where do you stand on the Heisman race?
I mean, I don't like to talk about it because you got to be the one standing there to interview the winner. You're not going to get my ballot out of me.
Open the envelope, right? You never know what's in.
No. They've got someone from the Heisman Trust. I know in the commercial break before, and I don't want to know before that.
Okay.
It's dumb to sit there and like look at the finalists and make eye. You don't want to know until the last second, but I do want to know in the commercial break before, in case the result goes some totally unexpected direction and I'm standing there having to think of questions. But you know, I think that it's interesting. I mean, Knicks has some very, very interesting stats, and Oregon has obviously been a powerhouse team. I don't know how you can be more impressive as a quarterback than what Jaden Daniels has done at LSU. I don't know how you can play better than that.
Yeah.
I mean, as a thrower and a runner, they've got three losses. They're not going to be playing on championship Saturday. He's got to light up Texas A&M. You got to take up every chance you get. But I mean, to me, he's had an amazing season that's been overlooked because LSU just hasn't been a playoff team.
Yeah, I think Penix's story is pretty remarkable with what he's done with Washington as well. And Bo Nix with, you know, transferring from Auburn and what he's done as well. Yeah, I'm kind of torn here. I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. might be the best player, but I don't think, you know, he's going to win the Heisman unless he did something incredible against Michigan.
Well, he's got to do that. He was the best player on the field, and it made a difference in Ohio State's biggest game. Well, now this is a much bigger game. Can he be the best player on the field and make a difference? You know, he had three catches last week. They didn't need him. Against a lot of opponents, if he weren't there, the result is totally the same. Not to discount what he's done. He's been brilliant. I think Rome Odunze of Washington, Penix's major target, is a surefire NFL star. He's had a great season,
he's
too.
Fun.
Brock Bowers might be the best player in the country at any position if he's healthy all year. But again, he's a tight end, and this is a quarterback sport. And I spend 50% of my time when I analyze a team every week looking at the quarterback analytics and every situational thing you can think of, because that's really what decides games, right? How is the QB on third down? How is he in the red zone? It's come from Sunday down to Saturday. And you just have to acknowledge that the sport is largely based on their performance. So why wouldn't the Heisman go to the guy at that position?
12-team playoff next year, any downside?
I think there's unintended consequences, and people who think that this is a chance for all those who've been overlooked and ignored to get in. You got like an 18-team Big Ten. You got an expanded SEC with OU and Texas. Where do you think the majority of those playoff bids are going to go? I mean, they're going to go to SEC 3 and 4, Big Ten 3 and 4. It's going to fill the bracket up, and people are going to realize that no matter what you do, you're probably still going to have the same heavyweight program standing at the end. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of games down the stretch. But instead of determining whether they're in the bracket, it's going to be about seeding and home field. That's what the NFL is, right? So if you like that model, you'll like the college model. If you think that college should be distinct from the NFL, you're going to be appalled at some of the changes, because regular season games flat out just won't mean as much. They just won't. You think Alabama's ever going to miss the playoff? Georgia's not going to be there.
Yeah.
Ohio State, Michigan, they're going to all be in there every single year. So,
should Lincoln Riley be on the hot seat?
No, but I think there needs to be some soul searching either by him or the staff. I mean, you have to become obsessed with defense if you're him. You've got to simply address the fact that defenses have not been good enough. And it's tough when people see a guy like Caleb Williams come to USC and he's going to leave without winning a conference championship. You know, it's like Drake May, probably the best quarterback Carolina's ever had, not going to win an ACC championship while he's there. And you just hate to waste a generational type talent because the team isn't complete enough. So you need to make the team more complete. You need to get much, much better in the trenches. But I don't put him on the hot seat. I mean, they've tried through NIL to get better in the trenches. They didn't ignore it, but they just got a lot of work to do.
Before I let you go, since we're celebrating 30 years of College Game Day, whose idea was it for Coach Corso to put on the headgear?
His. I mean, it started out with kind of a baseball hat or something lame, and then it was a helmet, and then the Ohio State game where he famously saw Rudis Buckeye's head, asked for it. They politely said no. And then they negotiated it because Kirk Herbstreit's wife, Allison, was part of the cheerleading team. That's a true story. And they finally convinced them. And the minute he put it on, you talk about a light bulb moment. We didn't know with the first road show, but you knew with the first headgear pick. Oh, like this is a thing. And you know, this many decades later, it is part of pop culture. But that was the first one. And I mean, look, Dan, it's tough. I mean, Lee Corso, before he went through his struggles with the stroke, was a dynamic, electric performer. I mean, he was nobody like him, and there never will be anybody like him again. He was so quick and so instinctively funny and razor sharp in that kind of show business way. And he thought of it. Lightning struck that day, and the rest is history. But I'm sad that there's generations of viewers that have seen, you know, Lee courageously struggle with his situation. It's deeply moving to me. It's powerful what he's had to battle through. But I hope people also go to YouTube and understand that for a couple decades, that's why Game Day in large part got to where it was, because of, you know, his ability to sort of create and spark and be an entertainer.
Well put. My best to the family. Happy Thanksgiving. Safe travels there, buddy.
The whole crew there. We'll do it again.
Thank you, bud. That's Chris Fowler, College Game Day, 30 years ago. And I was at the mothership, but we didn't think anything of it. It's like, oh, the college show is, that little show is going on the, oh, they're going to South Bend. And they weren't even out where the masses were. And then I remember that it was Coach Corso, and it was a headgear that he put on, and it maybe was the Ohio State game where then all of a sudden they became a thing. But I just remember when it first started, and, you know, I'm caught up in SportsCenter, and it's like, oh, that's nice. They get to go on the road. And then all of a sudden the road welcomed them like a boy band, and they never looked back. I watched, you know, James Madison. By the way, my most must-win game of the weekend was James Madison. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Uh-oh. All right. Let me take a break. Getting a little long-winded here. Play of the day up next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Eagles at the Chiefs tonight. Chiefs giving 3. Over under 45.5, according to DraftKings. We'll talk to Steve Young coming up in a little bit. Luciano in Brooklyn joining us. Hey, Luciano, welcome back.
Morning, couple.
Hey, man.
Look at the UConn legend sitting there looking all fresh. Peace, King, what else, say? And, of course, to the good fellas, Ty, Seed, and Pauly, what's it about, baby?
It's about...
all right, Mr. Patrick, I got to tell you, my brother. First of all, I'm in a fantastic mood. You could probably tell by my voice. Since we made you couple regime of the barbershop debates,
yeah.
My weekly envelopes have been extra fat. And business has never been so good. So as I'm sitting here right now in the Bellagio Hotel looking over the Las Vegas Strip, it is, 8:25 in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm literally holding the cup halfway filled with Keep Us Hearts Irish American whiskey because it is Brooklyn certified. And I want to say we salute you. And, we appreciate everything you're doing, Skipper.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Luciano. I like that. A little road trip. Yeah, out to the Las Vegas Strip.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
We'll be out there for the Super Bowl. Let's make way for the Hall of Famer, Steve Young. And let me see. Do I run down all these? You got three Super Bowl rings from the Niners, Super Bowl MVP, two-time MVP, former ESPN analyst. Anything else? Did I leave out anything here?
Dan, you got it. Okay. No one at my house cares anyway, so don't worry about it.
Really?
No. No, they don't. The football's not. Although the girls, remember, I coached their flag football this fall, and the girls suddenly, like yesterday, they're like, why is he waving his arm when the punt? I'm like, it's a fair catch. It's a fair catch. You don't know what a fair catch is? You know, like, no, what does that mean? Like, oh, wow. So that has been fun. But the girls are, you know, kind of interested in it.
Do the dads, though, they know who you are, so they geek out when they meet you?
it depends, you know. I mean, there's 49 faithful. You know, we live in the area. You know, I always said if I got in trouble, I'd drive to Modesto immediately. They'd protect me. So there's a lot of good people around here.
I never thanked you publicly. At least I don't think so. When we were on the sidelines, when the Steelers beat the Cardinals in the Super Bowl, and Ben got the ball for the 2-minute drill, and I'm going to hand out the trophy, and you're right there next to me. And you were doing play-by-play as if you were quarterbacking the Steelers. And it's one of the more wonderful moments I've had in broadcasting, because we're all thinking, like, what's Ben thinking or going to do, and you're telling me what he should do, or, oh, my God, that was unbelievable. And then he leads him down for the touchdown.
Yeah, it was great.
And then I never saw you after that. But I it was wonderful. It was. Yeah. But he made it. I thought he should have been MVP. I mean, he to do that with the game on the line like that, after what Kurt Warner just did. I mean, that was a very underrated Super Bowl, it felt like.
Super underrated. And the throw of the corner to win it was like, I mean, it was a magical little. I mean, you and I were standing right there. We're like 3 feet away.
Yeah,
and it's, to me, it's fun in the NFL if you can be down on the field, because that's kind of, it's easy to do it from the booth because you can, you know, but to be in the guts of it and then react like, you know, as if you were playing it, because you're, you know, you visibility on the field is a little bit reduced from the stand. You know, I mean. I find myself now, I'll be at one of a high school game or something, watching the stands. I'm like, please help, throw it. And I can't believe, I just said to myself, where did you come from that you would actually be, you'd reduce yourself to being in the stands yelling to a quarterback to throw it? You've got to be kidding me after all the years.
I was talking about Dak Prescott, that when you're the Cowboys quarterback, you get too much credit, too much blame. And I don't know if there's another fan base that has that much pressure, but can you equate any of that to the 49ers fan base? I know it's not as large as the Cowboys, but
yeah. Well, I mean, Joe Montana did a number on me to kind of put a target on me, right? So it's like, you know, there's a fan base that's, if you think about the Cowboy fan base, the fan base that is like hyper focused is probably about the size of our fan base. So it's like, quarterback, when there's an expectation at quarterback, and not every town has expectations around, everyone like loves the quarterback, but there's certain towns where the quarterback is everything and only thing. And San Francisco is one of those places. Dallas is one of those places. You got two, you know, both have two first ballot Hall of Famers. You know, they have history. You know what I mean? Where a lot of places don't have history of quarterback. Chicago, you know, like they would love a great quarterback, but it's not like they're used to it. Right. And so that's why Justin's got such a hill to climb in some ways, in a different way, where if you're a 49er or a Cowboy quarterback, the hill's already in place. You know, it's good luck.
I was watching Zach Wilson yesterday, and an analyst said he goes through his progressions too quickly. And I'm curious about like, what is too quick and what's not quick enough, like that clock that's in your head of what you do. And I think you've talked about this before to me, that you like looked, there'd be one read and then you just take it and then you'd run.
Right.
You have to go through that, that mental, that clock that's ticking, but you know,
there's a pace to it. There's a pace to it, Dan. And you're making a very good point. I was always too fast. You know, I was fast getting back. Bill Walsh used to say, look, you got to slow your drop. you got to slow down because, you know, we time everything off of back then. The West Coast offense was always about your footwork, decided where you throw the football. It's less that way out of the shotgun, but your footwork decided it. So you're so fast, you're ready. The team has not, the play is not prepared for you yet. And so you had to slow down. And you, and I think what you're describing for Zach is a mental slowdown because you're so look, football, the quarterbacking is all about adrenaline control. When everyone has adrenaline in the game, because everyone's full of, you know, and the 80,000 people screaming, is that can you control your adrenaline? You actually reduce it as things go crazy, as the play goes on, your adrenaline stays pat or goes down. And if you don't, you'll chase it with your brain goes fast, right? Everything's going fast. Your visibility goes down. It's all the same stuff. Every quarterback fights it. And guys that haven't played very much in the pros, until you can teach yourself that or can kind of go through it enough that happens, you end up in a space where you're always racing through it, and the play can't, you know, the play can't be done in a way that's productive. It's like you're ready to throw it, and then you go to the next guy. He's not ready to throw it because he's supposed to be waiting for the other guy, and then you go through the whole process. Then you go to scramble, then you go down, and the coach screams at you, "What are you doing?" And you're like, "Well, I did exactly what I was told." Yeah, you did exactly what you were told too fast, and it doesn't work. I think it's a great point.
How do you learn to throw a receiver open in the NFL when you normally don't have to do that in college?
Well, less. The game has changed a lot with the safety rules where you can't, you know, launch your body as a defender. So again, there's space, a lot more space. Used to be, I would say, you know, in college, every receiver is open, and in the pros, nobody's open. So that was I would say that in college, everybody's still open, or even more open, and the pros is they're more open than they've ever been. But anticipatory throwing is what I try to tell other quarterbacks. It's like, if you don't see that coming, you'll be too late. So then people say, well, wait, now I'm too early, now I'm too late. It's like, yeah, that's why there's only five guys in the world that can be, like, you know, generational talents at this, because it's the ability to, there's, you know, processing has always been the key elements of NFL quarterback. So that's, and that processing has to be timely. It has to be, and then to deliver the football, that's why you have to have a great brain and a great arm. And together, you have anticipatory throwing. That's what's fun to watch. And After I retired, I'd be on the sidelines with you, like you described. And you saw Ben, or you watched Peyton, or you watched Tom. And it's that was the gift that they all had, that everyone else chased. But just, they'd have great brains. They didn't have the arm, or they never put it all together, or they were too fast, or they were too slow. And there was just that's why I love quarterback, and that's why I love the game. It's like a concerto, right? It's like, it's got to be just perfect. It's got the pitch and the feel and the timing has got to be perfect. And when you see great players play, Dan, as you know, you stand behind them in the end zone. I used to love to stand in the goalpost and watch from behind, and you just say, oh my, that thing came out, and it's just like that. Nothing had by the time the ball was out of his hand, nothing had happened. And then while the ball was in the air, it all happened, and then bam. And there's something really beautiful about it.
He's the Hall of Famer, Steve Young, joining us, Dan Patrick Show. Would you rather have a great offensive tackle or a great wide receiver?
I mean, that's tough, but your point is that a tackle like Trent Williams of the 49ers, you can see it when he's in the game, when it's not. It's just, it's like a shutdown corner. Would you rather have a shutdown corner or a great edge rusher? And I think you'd probably say, look, a shutdown corner allows the other 10 guys to do things that are just unavailable without it. And so a great tackle, it's the same as a shutdown corner. You now close down a side, and that allows the other 10 guys to do. So if you don't have a Hall of Fame receiver, but you have a Hall of Fame tackle, your all pro receiver now is a Hall of Fame receiver. Like, it elevates everybody. And I think that's the point you're making. I think I agree with that. I mean, Trent Williams is probably, people say he's the greatest football player ever. I've heard that been said. And I can't say that that's not true at this point, because there's no one that's ever dominated the position like that. Now, you know, Anthony Munoz, you know, there's some great all pro.
Larry Allen.
Out to Larry Allen. But I mean, Trent is unique. He can, on the run and the pass, can just completely dominate a game. And that's why, and quarterback, you, You've seen it every week. The only thing that stops quarterbacks in today's game is pressure, because people are open. There are open spaces, and then quarterbacks can go run for a free yard. So it's like a fun game to play. I mean, I've said it to you before. I'd love to play today. It'd be a lot of fun to go run around and make it happen. But you can't. The only defense that defending NFL defenses have today is four guys to force the passer. That's because the game hasn't changed in the pass rush. It's changed in coverage. It's changed in tackling, but it has not changed in pass rushing. The safety protocols have not affected the pass rush, and that's why it's still, and that's why it's been leaned into by defensive coordinators and everybody. So we got four guys, and they got to bring the heat because that's our only shot.
Are the Niners set at quarterback?
I mean, how can you say no at this point? It's unbelievable to me that the game has always been a processing game, Dan. I mean, and you've got an elite processor, 23-year-old elite processor, and that's, you watch it every weekend.
But how do you know you have that?
I always call it, it's like Star Wars. I always say it's the Force. You know, when Obi-Wan Kenobi turns to Luke Skywalker, you have the Force. And everyone goes, well, what is that? Because it's indescribable. It's this thing that we just talked about. The brain and the ability and the anticipation and the timing and the sense. And it's like a guile. And that's why I say it's the Force. Like, the kid has the Force. And people, you know, that's why he wasn't, why did you get drafted the last guy in the draft? Because the Force is hard to judge. You're just not sure. And look, I always say that even Brock doesn't know it until he does it. It's a revelation for everybody. And that's true for anyone in the NFL. It all comes to you because, you can say, oh, I'm great. I know I can do it. Yeah, and you're not really until you do it. Then it all kind of makes
But I maintain obvious. That he had a harder time. He had to throw people open in college, where some of these other quarterbacks probably played with, C.J. Stroud. He didn't have to throw anybody open. Brock Purdy had to throw people open at Iowa State. So he might have been ready.
You make the point that Brock is going to have to, he's not the prototype. The prototype is Jalen Hurts. C.J. Stroud, who is just, I think, is if everyone doesn't understand, when you watch the tape, he is ahead of the game. He is an anticipatory thrower. Like, that's when you know someone's going to get better and better and better, because they have that gift.
Yeah.
So those are Brock can't throw it as late as CJ can, as late as Jalen can, because his arm, it's like, it's different. So he has to do it in a more, even more guileless ways. I don't know if that's a word, but like, he has to actually be ahead. And that's why he's gotten into trouble in the three losses, where the ball's coming out. The ball has to come out, and that's one of his gifts. But it has to come out so fast and early in anticipation that it's like it hasn't fully developed, and where the other guys can hang for the extra quarter of a second. They can watch for a little bit longer, and then they can get out of the pocket, stiff arm a defensive lineman, get out and throw it 60 yards. So Brock's going to have to do it like if CJ or Jalen's going to take three steps, Brock's going to take five. But he's going to be so efficient and good at it that he's, instead of, he's going to be 5 for 5, where the other guys have to be 3 for 3. So that's just a fact, and he's going to have to do that in the biggest games. And he's going to have to do it coming from behind. The NFL today, Dan, every game, it feels like, comes down the last couple possessions of the fourth quarter. Yeah. That was never the case before. It was always more stodgy, more thick. It was like you couldn't make that big vicissitudes of scoring, like back and forth. It's like the NBA today. You've got five guys in the league, or six, that you give the ball in their hands in the last couple of drives, and they will get it done. And Brock needs to constantly work extra to be one of those guys, but I think he can.
Would you have a harder time trying to describe to somebody who had never seen Patrick Mahomes play or Travis Kelce play?
They are subtle. It is subtle. But both of them have the same gift of presence in space. Like, all the chaos and all, they have a sense of a place in motion. And Patrick, the first time I saw him play in Denver on Monday night, it was the second game, I say, he was scrambling left and someone's chasing him and all. And then, usually young quarterback, I don't care how settled you are and how present you are, your mind is racing, right? You're scrambling out of the pocket. You're running as hard as you can. You're desperate for someone to be open. And all of a sudden, he kind of settles in and flicks it left-handed, kind of, you know, over a guy's head and completion. I'm like, you have, that's the ultimate, that you can be in the most incredible moments of adrenaline. And it's like, no, dude, I'm it's peace, bro, peace, you know? And so Travis has the same sense of spatial relationships. You ever notice where he's kind of in between a couple of guys and he kind of just puts his body a certain way and you throw it that and then, and Patrick feels that. And then the other thing is when he starts to run, you'd say he was a lumberer. But he gains so much space in every step that it's like he's lumbering right by you, you know? And so they're both unique, but Patrick is. And what I love about Patrick, Dan, is that he recognized that processing and the play out of the huddle is the most valuable thing in the game. And he decided, you know, instead of being Superman, the most important thing I can do to be Superman is to do the basic blocking and tackling of calling the play, dropping back, and getting the ball out of my hand on time. And he started to work at that after the 19 Super Bowl run. He said, look, I can make all the plays. I get that. But I'm not getting over the hump because I'm missing all of those, you know, nuts and bolts plays, the basics. And so he went back and played basic football, got the ball out, became much more efficient. And what that did was then allowed him, when he did go, to be really Superman. And that's what his game has changed over the last couple of years. And that's why he's so dangerous. And to me, so almost impossible to beat, because he's going to beat you out of the huddle and he's going to beat you out on the perimeter. And that's the dream. That's the prototype today. That's the dream. That's my game. All goes full circle. I just want to come back and play. That's all that matters. That's all I want to do, Dan. I just want to come back and play. This is my, I was the oddity in 1990. I was like, he's a lefty scrambler. Get him off the field. I can't hate those guys. And now today, you're like, welcome. Come on in.
Steve, could you help the Jets right now?
Yeah, the Jets, I mean.
You at quarterback.
Oh, quarterback. Yeah, no, I can look. game today, but you saw, I will say this. Peyton never wanted to leave the game, but his arm went out. He would still probably be trying to play. Tom played as long as he possibly could because they knew that they were trained in a more sophisticated era. That's a fact. And they were taking advantage of it and abusing the system because they were trained in a different era. And if people were open, Tom once said to me, the flats are always open. The middle of the field is unpatrolled, which in the middle of the field in the day, you went in there with your life on the line.
Yeah.
He says, and no one can hit me. And it's that's the game that I can dominate in. And so if you were trained at a more sophisticated day, like Aaron Rodgers, why is Aaron Rodgers trying to get back after 4 months? Because I was trained in a more sophisticated era, and I'm abusing the system. Give me on the field. Because and these are the last of the guys. Aaron's probably the last guy that was trained that way. And so everyone else will now be trained in a new era, and it's probably not as – it's like anything.
Is your arm strong enough to help the Jets?
Yes, I can throw a few balls, all right?
Okay.
All right,
that's
don't
all,
get me dreaming. Dan, don't get me dreaming, man. Stop.
Your wife's going to get mad at me, but Steve Young says he can help the Jets. I like that as a quarterback.
Hey, make the headline, Dan. Bring the drama. Bring the drama.
Yep.
And then I escaped the pocket once and four hamstrings go, and then where are we?
Happy Thanksgiving to the family. Always great to talk to you. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, you're the best.
That's Hall of Famer, Steve Young. Always a great conversation with Steve. We'll take a break. Running late. Back after this.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.